Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Precious Redeemer. Father, this day we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you came in obedience to your Father. And you sacrificed your life that we might have life, and that more abundantly. That we might have life eternal. That we might spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. That we might be in a better place, and that we might know the hand of God on our lives day by day. And Lord, we say we love you, Lord Jesus. We say thank you to you, and we worship you, Lord. And Lord, we give you praise for all that you've done for us. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit into our lives to fill us, to lead us, and to direct us. And Father, we give you praise for all that you've ever done for us, and that all that you are doing for us. Hallelujah. We rejoice in you, O God. And we say, oh God, thank you that we know our lives are in safe hands as we trust in you, the living God. And we give you praise. Hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I could worship the Lord all day. Just worship him all day. Just give him praise and glory for what he's done. God wants his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. It is a joy to be in the presence of a living God. Hallelujah. And to know that his hand is outstretched towards us with love. What a God we serve. What a Jesus. Oh, what a Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.
I was first.
You wouldn't let Mark go first.
Come on, Mark. I mean, encourage the people. I just want to say thank you for having me here, asking me to come with you. My name's Mark. I'm originally from Thorn. And I don't want to go too much into my past. I was a drug addict for 22 years and spent 18 of them on heroin and crack cocaine. And through my addiction, I lost everything. My family, my son, my partner. I hadn't spoken to my mum and my dad and my brothers in 10 years because they don't want nothing to do with me, with what I'd put them through. I first met Andrew and Grace 7 years ago. It'd be 7 years this month, about this month, at Team Challenge, the drop-in. And they started to tell me that all I needed was Jesus, that Jesus could help me. And some of what Andrew just said, it reminded me, no matter what, and they didn't judge me. Andrew and Grace, they didn't judge me. All they did was showed me love. And they accepted me for who I was. And I started going to the drop-in regular. Then one night a guy came from Leeds, Team Challenge Leeds, John Mockery. And he told his testimony, a bit like my lifestyle. And I decided to applied to go to Team Challenge. And I went to Team Challenge July the 19th, 2007. And on the 24th of July, I gave my life to Christ. And it was during the prayer meeting, and I'll never ever forget that day, because I accepted Jesus into my life. He took my pain and took everything away from me. And over the 18 months I was there, he did a work in me. But I still kept on the older things. Like that someone just saying, I lay my old before you now. I never did. I kept on to things what I didn't want to let go. Yeah. And it ended up causing me to leave. And I ended up back onto the drugs for a short time. And I went to the Carpenter Arms. Andrew took me down there. And that's where I met Richard. First met Richard 5 years ago. And I've had my ups and downs since I've been at the at Carpenter Arms. I've been there a few times. And it's only this time that I realised that what I had to do. And I had to totally let, like it says, I lay my old before you now. I totally had to let go of everything. I might not understand what I'm going, but I've just got to trust in Jesus, trust in God. And that's what I did, and the change is just amazing. Since I've been back at the Carpenters, he's given me hope and the future. It's like it says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. That's what he has done. I'm training to be a youth worker, something what I've always wanted to do. And as well with the youth work, I'm going into the schools and speaking to the kids about the dangers of drink and drugs and that. Last week, we were in the schools all week. I spoke to over 900 school kids. And it was what amazing time we had with them and sharing with them. It was so blessed just by doing it. Reached so many people. I didn't realise what the need was in the schools. And that because I didn't. And that when I was at school, the drugs weren't around in the schools then. And it just opened my eyes to it. And I've got just amazing future now. I don't know completely what it is, but I'm just trusting in God. Last year I had to go to Manchester and that for a short time to get away because I had a few problems. And I went to a concert there, a Christian concert, praise, Festival of Praise. And God answered my prayer that night, one night. There's a songwriter called Mary Mary. She wrote that, you broke my shackles, now I can lift my hands and praise you. And she went on about that a Christian walk is just like you men, just putting one foot in front of another, not turning back, just keep going forward, one foot after another. And that's what, that really spoke to me that night. And Jesus just said to me, Mark, you may not trust, you may not know what's happening and that, but all you've got to do is trust in me and put one foot, just keep on following me and not looking behind you, not looking to the past. And where it says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I didn't really, I thought I knew the truth, but I didn't. It was just head knowledge what I had. And it's knowing what Jesus did and who he is that will set you free. And that's what he's done. He's totally set me free now from the past. It's just amazing what he's doing in my life. I just want to say thank you.
Another son.
Amen.
Another son.
Amen.
He's another son. He's even lived with us for a while. Discipline. One step in front all the time. Follow Jesus. It's a walk of faith.
The way down is the way up. That's what I read this morning. And that's what Joseph was told. That the way down is the way up, and I think that's been your experience, but God's had his hand on you all the way and will continue to bring it to fulfillment. Amen.
I just want to say basically I was coming here before and that and like obviously I weren't fully committed. I was still doing some stuff, but I was coming here, and then I was still doing stuff for a week, and then eventually I just, slipped back, and I went altogether, and then I was just going through a cycle, basically, you know, being friends with my friends and then losing my temper with him, having a go at him, losing him, then being lonely for a bit, then being friends with him again because I was lonely again, and it was just a cycle that went on. And then I come back to church, and when I'd lost my friends, and I was just like, I'm not bothered no more, I'm just leaving that behind now, that's just done, and this is what I want. But then, like, it's just happened this week, and it's just amazing. It's like, first of all, like, I stopped smoking on Tuesday, it's been easy because it's like I've had the blessing of grace, and I've just not wanted to lose that grace, and I've just felt so pure and good, and then I went to Tesco and I had a voucher for some food, and it didn't work, it didn't redeem itself, and I was like, just don't get worked up, you know what I mean? And this woman behind me says, oh, I'll pay for it if you want, which was just like, I was. And then also my brother, we had a row a few weeks ago, and I was like worrying about it, and well, not worrying, but I was thinking I was going to text him, but I didn't. And, you know, God sorted that as well. He texted me and he wanted to know about God through me. So I've been helping him too, which is amazing. You know, after that brilliant day, I had a rough day the next day. I've been a bit attacked in that, but, you know, I just stuck with it. I had a bit of bitterness thoughts in my head against my peers at work. So, you know, that knocked me down a bit just temporarily, but I got back up there. And then, you know, through work, through my course and that, I prayed every day. And he just, as soon as I got to work, it was like, it just gave me, like, wisdom and energy and concentration and my mind. It was just, and I was just like, everything was easy and I was just doing everything easy. I couldn't believe it. It was like, this is not me doing this. Do you know what I mean? And then I went on that app for a few days and I was singing hymns and I was actually enjoying it, which were a miracle in itself. And then Friday, when I actually had my test, I prayed hard. Well, I prayed in the start, but then I went to the toilet through dinner time and I prayed really hard. And, well, not hard, I don't know what it was. I just concentrated and I had my head against the wall. And it was only just for a couple of minutes. And I just had this beaming light come from my chest, and I felt it, this all bubbling up inside of me. And then I walked out, and I felt all this love, and it was like I was being cuddled. In fact, I can feel it now coming again, and you know, it's just overwhelming. I felt a bit scared as well at the same time. I don't know what that was, but then after that though. Like, all the way through the day, everything come from a different perception. It was like, I was watching, like, EastEnders, like, and it was just, I could just see the evil in it, and just everything's come from a different perception, and it's like, that desire to sin and lose my temper, it's gone, it's going, it's in the distance, and you know, it's just, you know, and I've noticed since that, I've been more committed to prayer and that, but, you know, devil's stirring up more, trying to distract me. But you know, if the devil's angry, then that means I'm in the right place, doesn't it? Yeah. And I just want to say, God significantly changed me from inside out. My heart's getting softer, and my desire to lose my temper and sin is absent. And my main message is: this has all happened since I put Him first in my life. All my other things, like. Obviously, I had a feeling that stopped smoking a few weeks ago, and now I know it was God who put that there, because as soon as I stopped, He come in.
Yes.
And obviously, I'll play an online gaming as well, and I've just like kind of put Him first before that, and just had an hour or two on computer. But like now, I don't even play it because it's like it's not interesting to me now. Do you know what I mean? It's just like I just want to seek His face, and I'm just hungry for more. And I'm just happy that He stuck with me all of His and that, and just praise His name. Thank you.
It's what it's about. It's what it's about, isn't it?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Family being blessed.
It's a great birthday present for me.
Nice.
No, it's not. It ain't you. It's the Spirit of God. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Got a preacher in the making. Preacher in the making. Hallelujah. Praise God. Richard is another guy who, thank God, he's not been on drugs or anything like that, but we had to step into his life at one stage, and a couple of stages, okay, fine. And stand in the gap for him and to do what he didn't want us to do, really. And by the grace of God, he's here because of that. And we're not here to take glory, but he's doing a great work now in Carpenter's Arms. And I want him to share some of the work of Carpenter's and what's happening down there, because you hear me talk about it all the time. Connected, you know, as we are via Teen Challenge in one sense, but Carpenter's Arm, I'm a trustee there, and with so much happening and so much going on, and lives are being changed, and you know, we've stuck with Mark, and we've had a roller coaster with him, but we've not given up on him because he's family, and we knew that at some stage he would come through, but how long it was going to take before we had to take a cricket bat to him and beat him into it, I don't know, but we were getting to that point, praise God, but God beat us to it, hallelujah, so praise his wonderful name. But Richard here, hallelujah, he's a great guy, he's, you know, God's wisdom's upon him and working through him.
Thank you. So it's really nice to be here, thank you. I've never been here, 6 years, 7 years, I've kind of been in the ministry-ish. And I've never been here. I do recognise some of you from Papa Down to Carpenter's Arms, so it is nice to see you. And it's nice to meet a lot of new faces anyway. Thank you, Chris. Sorry for using my phone. I've written loads of notes on it, but sorry about that. First of all, the Carpenter's Arms, it's in a nutshell about seeing healing come in the form that at the end of it, people have got a vision for the future. There's no point having healing if you've not got a future. What are you getting healed for? Andrew said it earlier, and I'm going to nick his tagline here. Sorry. It's about desires changing. It's a massive thing. You know, we talked about it a little bit this afternoon over lunch. And, you know, when somebody has a desire for something, it gets them up in the morning. And when somebody has a desire for something, they put it out first. You know, I remember watching a video on YouTube. I went through a bit of a fitness phase, clearly years ago. And one of the videos turned around and said, this guy went to go get trained. And the trainer said to him, how much do you want this? And the guy said, well, I want it a lot. So the trainer took him out into the sea and climbed on his shoulders and stuck the guy's head into the water, pulled it up again and said, how much do you want this? And the guy said, I really want this. And the trainer kept doing this over and over and over and kept getting deeper in the water. And finally he said, when you want this more than you want to breathe, that's when I know you really desire it. A bit powerful, that. How much do you want God? Where's your desire? How much do these guys want change and healing? And that's what the Carpenter's Arms is about, is realistically seeing healing and realistically seeing a change in the guys' lives. It's been a real privilege to have Andrew and Grace both support us as they have done. What I've seen over the years there, 6 years, well, 5.5 years we've been open now. And what I've seen, miracles are real. Yeah. Miracles do exist. And we're not talking about something small like somebody's runny nose stopping. We're talking about people who, it's not just lives changing, lives saved. We've, a couple of times over the years, we've had guys come to us in such a state that the same day that they come to us, they've lied about how bad they were, and they've come to us, and they've been hospitalized. And, you know, unfortunately, even a couple of weeks ago, some guy came to us, and his skin was yellow. I'm talking, you go out there, and you stop at a traffic light, wait for it to turn amber, and you've got about the same color. And unfortunately, the same day, the guy died. The same day he went in hospital, but he died. This isn't a Mickey Mouse project. This is life and death. And that's why we're so grateful that God's in control. And he is. So it's about changes being desired. Now, I've worked there 6 years, and my role now, I started off as a working in the kitchen, then onto shifts, and then key working, and key working wasn't for me. and went to accounts, and the accounts wasn't for me. But my role keeps changing, and at the minute I'm the manager of the move-on houses, which is such a privilege to run. Now, we might have had 200 people through there, but what a privilege to deal with the one person. I put this on Facebook the other day. What a privilege to deal with one, because God's in the one. He's in the many, but he's also in the one. It doesn't matter how big the church is. It doesn't matter how big the Carpenter's Arms is. God's in the one. God's in Mark. And Stephen, your testimony, what you've just said there is fantastic. What a privilege it is to be witness to what God's doing. So I've got the wonderful privilege of working with Mark and eight other guys in my move-on houses. That comes after the main centre, which is a 12-bed place. So the guys will come in, they'll go through detoxing, which is an extremely hard part for them. I mean, you try coming off anything, it's hard, but you try coming off a lifetime of drugs and alcohol. A lot of the guys will tell you it's impossible, but what happens there, as I said, is nothing short of a miracle in a lot of their lives. And it's not from us. We don't do it. And mostly, they don't do it. The person who does it isn't person, it's God. You see these guys come in. Most of the guys come in aren't Christian. But I tell you, of the guys who come in who aren't Christian, around about 80% leave Christian. And I promise you, the other 20% know what it is to be Christian when they leave. You know, these guys here, they have a seed sown in them, but it's not us sowing the seed. You know, we're around them. We're showing them what God's love is, but God's the one with the love. So people arrive in their different stages of Christianity, and through the program, we really nail in God. God's the Saviour. We're not the Saviour. You put your trust in man, you know where that's going to end up. You put your trust in God. God's constant. God doesn't change. Now, look, something which someone said earlier, Grace said about the journey. You know, your journey down is your journey up. And I'm very fortunate of all the residents to come in. Most of them are quite wise. Wrong choices, but wise people. And one of them turned around to me the other week and said, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And often that single step's the hardest one. So it is a privilege to work with guys who have the courage to change their lives. And it is a courageous move. So what we did is we had a look at our vision. Because it's all about vision. As I said at the beginning, without a vision, the people perish. That's scripture. Now, we had a look at our vision, and about 3 months ago, we decided to really change the program. It was working for the guys in rehab, wasn't really working for the guys in move on, and they were kind of getting clean, but they weren't kind of getting out there and getting a normal life back, what you and I would consider normal, which is a job, a family, a stable relationship with people. So we changed it. We were prepared to say, forget everything that we've done the last 5 years. What does God want us to do? In submitting to God, we got God's vision for the place. We changed things slightly, a lot in some areas. Since changing that, the provision has been phenomenal. I'm talking about we ask and we receive same day. In fact, one day we asked in a prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting every morning. And about 2 minutes later, the front door buzzer went off and somebody came in with cash. Yes. God's a God who's a provider. Yes. God gives you vision, and with the vision, provision. Now, the best thing about this this change in vision is it's God's plan, and it works. Yeah. I'm really happy to say that since this new vision, 100% of our move-on guys have remained sober from drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, gambling, pornography. 100% of our move-on guys are now doing voluntary or paid work in the community. Okay. About 60% of our guys are on educational courses, and all of them, I mean every single one of them, know what it is like to be a Christian. We have two guys who aren't Christian, but they know what it's like. You see it in them. They're on the verge. Had a guy there who's not a Christian. In fact, he came in. You wouldn't believe how anti-Christian some of the guys are who came in. He came in. He's moaning. He's negative. I was prepared to evict him this week. He'd be mucking about. And this week, I called him in for a meeting. And I said to this guy, I need to talk to you. And I had the program pastor there with me. And I was going to give him an ultimatum of, get on with your life, you know, basically get on or get out. And it's a very tough talk to have with somebody because you're making somebody homeless the same day. And he said, can I talk before you start? Went to church on Sunday. You've got to love what God does. He said, I had an experience with God. Now, he's not a Christian yet. Pray for him, please. He's not a Christian yet. He said, I had an experience with God. And you should see the change in his attitude immediately. God is a God who transforms. He doesn't just transform the healthy. He's not just a God for the healthy, a God for the people who don't need him. He's much more than that. He's a God for the people who need him. And what a privileged position it is to be in, to need God. Because you know then a God who loves you. You know a God who cares for you. And that's what we see. And we see this all the time. And it's great. How great is my job that I get to see this all the time? So we brought about this change and we've got those wonderful statistics. But the way that we did it is just to tell you a little bit more about the facts. We change it to a four-pronged approach. The first one is spiritual development. Now these guys will have prayer meetings every morning in the house if they can. But more importantly, when they're around as a staff, we talk to them about God. Not just talk to them, we're putting them through Christian courses. At the moment we're going through a course called Freedom in Christ, which is absolutely fantastic. And you see, we're just sowing seeds all the time. We're saying, God, you come and do the rest. We're going to talk about you. God, you affect their hearts. And he's doing it. This is a God. God doesn't stand in the background. God's there in your life and he's there in their lives as well. So the first part is spiritual development. The second part is employment. We make sure that these guys are doing voluntary or paid work. It's not enough to sit around and benefit for the rest of your life. These guys need to get back into work. And we are not shy about telling them this at all. Are we, Mark? Right. Mark isn't lazy. I'll put that out there now. Mark, in fact, actually, on the note of Mark, Mark will hopefully be coming on to do some more staff work with us this year. So from Mark's testimony, something he missed out was his future. And his future is bright. It's not orange. It's bright. And Mark's going to have a fantastic future. And whether that's with us or someone else, I don't know. But at the moment, we're looking at Mark helping us out with staffing later on this year. The next thing that we do is education. Now, we make sure guys get on courses. At the moment, and this is a fantastic thing, we've got a young Nepalese guy with us who'd been with us late last year. Now, he had no vision, and we challenge people. We say, what's your vision? What's your vision? What's your vision? If you haven't got one, you need to spend some time with God. And vision can change. We're aware of that. But this guy's now been accepted into two universities. He's got a third one that's giving him a maybe. He's got a choice. It's not even that, oh, yeah, I might go to university. It's, I've done so well. He's choosing between Loughborough, Plymouth and Keele, which are all good for the course he wants to do. He's got a choice. This is the future God's given him. Not, you've got to go do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. He's now got a choice. We should pray for him that he's got to make the right choice because the student's lifestyle is a bit tricky anyway. And finally, the thing that we focus on mostly is life skills. Now, life skills sounds pretty basic. Let me tell you, when you've led an addiction-based lifestyle, you don't realise how much your daily choices actually affect this, down to things like going to watch a football match. You know, we talk to them about how to put boundaries in place. Like, okay, you're going to go watch a football match. What's your plan in your head? It'll be, well, I'll take along X amount of money. I'll make sure to have this person on the phone in case I need them, because I know that going to watch a football match, there's going to be alcohol. Going to watch a football match, there'll be old friends. There's going to be a lot of testosterone flying around. It's genuine life skills, and it sounds very basic, but we've got to get basic. This is life we're talking about, and as I said earlier, it's life or death. So those are the statistics. Those are what we work with. But the best part is God gave us a vision. God gave us a vision, not because we're stupid, not because we couldn't do things by ourselves. God gave us a vision because he wants us to do it. Because he wants us to do it, he's providing for us. So the main thing I want to talk about at the moment is God's given us a vision at the minute for another house. Now, we're a 12-bedroomed main centre, and we've got 9 bedrooms in our move-on houses, which is great. So that's 21 people altogether, 21 residents. Unfortunately, that's outweighed by a 27 people waiting list for our rehab at the minute. That's 27 people where, although some might not mean death this week, it might mean death next week or the week after in a couple of years' time. 27 lives in the balance of can they get into rehab. That's shocking. So we found a lovely place. It's an 18-bedroom place. It's an old hotel. In fact, this place looks tailor-made for us. Everything about it is perfect. We've prayed and we believe God's saying go for it. So we say, okay, great. We're going to go for it. Sulla, how much does it cost? 1.1 million. Right. So price has got lowered now to 850,000, but we need prayer for that. It's not just us that need it. We're not getting it for ourselves. I can go and get a job somewhere else and my co-workers can go get a job somewhere else. We're not doing it for us. We don't want to work in a fancy place. We want to work with people. But we want to work with God's people. God's told us to do it, we're going to do it. God's told us to get this house. Let's pray for it. So if you could pray at some point, please, for the provision for this. It's important. But you know what? God's going to provide. Pray for it, though. He's not going to provide just because we're not praying. It's a faith. It's a faith move. Faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Yeah. Now, we do need some prayer, especially for the house, but mainly for our staff as well. The staff there, it's a very difficult job to do. As I said, I have to be prepared to evict people. Now, unfortunately, over the years, I've evicted quite a few people, guys who aren't ready for rehab. I've had to make people homeless. I've had to do things at work which I would never want to do in a job description at all. And some of the conversations you have, they're quite hard on a staff member sometimes. Some of the things that you hear, like about abuse from different people. So please pray for the staff. The staff need prayer. But most importantly, please pray for these residents. God isn't moving just in the staff. God's moving in their lives as well. Now, the same love that God has for you, same love that you have for your brother and sister, amplify it. Same love that I have for Andrew and Grace, who have been like surrogate parents to me, especially in certain times. God has such an abundance of love for these guys. And it isn't a love for these guys to stay in a rut. It isn't a love for these guys to stay on drugs and alcohol. It's a love for these guys to change. And God is a God of miracles. God is a God of provision. God is a God of healing power to not just restore, but to create such a fantastic ministry out of some of them. And how great is it that some of our guys are going to be going to Bible college in September? That's a victory, isn't it? Well, they've applied anyway, but they've been accepted provisionally. How great is it that these guys want to do that? How great is it that God's raising up a ministry in each one of them? Mark, for example, I'm going to pick on you a bit here, mate. Mark went to do youth work. Now, before Mark came back, he rang up for an interview, and I handled his interview. I said, Mark, what's your vision? He said, I want to do youth work. And I was like, youth work? That's working with kids. You've got to, how would they handle somebody with a history of drugs and alcohol? And the answer is, God took care of it. God put a vision on Mark's heart, and God took care of it. How great is it that guys are coming here with vision? How great is it that this vision's coming through? Mark spoke to 900 students last week. 900 of them. He made a student faint, actually, so maybe that's not a great thing. But Mark spoke to all these students. Thanks to Mark, all these students know Mark's testimony. Mark's testimony isn't a weak one. Mark's testimony is what God has put on Mark's heart. How great is it that Mark gets to share God's word? So please pray for the residents, because each one of them can have a ministry. Their ministry might be to go into a normal workplace and speak about God. Or the ministry might be to go forward in youth work. Well, their ministry for one of our guys might be to go to university, and for another one, it would be to start a disabled youth group in London. I've got quite a few. I won't go through them all. But God is a God who wants to see blessing and restoration. And through these guys, you wouldn't believe it, but the ministries they can have are far beyond the scope of our imagination. Because God's a fantastic architect, and he's got such a great plan, not just for these guys, for you as well. But please pray for them, because they could really do with support. So the staff, the future of the building, and the residents, I would really appreciate some prayer for. Thank you for letting me speak, Andrew. Cheers.
Big vision, bigger God. Amen? That's it. Big vision, bigger God. And we have a great big God. Hallelujah. And we drove past that building a few weeks ago, and I looked at it from the roadside, and I thought, that'd be a good place. Be a good place. So we continue to pray and believe God to begin to provide the finance that will allow us to purchase or start the process of purchasing the building. Claiming it to be ours in that sense. It's just great to see sons of God rising up. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Because that's what it's about. That we leave a generation behind us that fill the gap. And that begin to fill the gap behind them. This nation, this world is not going to the devil.
No way.
Hallelujah. It belongs to God.
Amen.
And everything, you know, the whole earth belongs to God, and everything that is in it belongs to Him. Amen. You all belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Mark, I've got a word for you. And that for the time being, you had to stay very focused on the Carpenter's Arms and that area. That is your testing ground. That is your ground of proving. And that is your ground of development. And by being there for this next year or two, you will find great development. Look nowhere else. Think of nothing else but be developed in that area, because they will love you, they will lead you, and the Spirit of God wants you there, because in that place you trust them. And in that place, God will do a great work in you. Amen. And He will establish you and firm you up for the future. So don't rush on. Don't rush away. Stay focused. I believe that's what God is saying to you.
Amen.
That's the place for you. Okay? Take that as a loving Father. Praise God. Well, I think we will come around the Lord's table first.
Amen.
Yeah? And then Daniel's going to come and minister the word of the Lord to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will not say we're going to save the best while last, but hey, who knows? I don't want to offend anybody else, but we're going to gather around the Lord's table together. You know, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. As often as you gather together, do this in remembrance of me. This is the bread of His presence. And as we partake of this, we are receiving the very life of Christ. He said to them, you know, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. No part. Wow, that's a strong statement. And people left Him. People left Him, walked away from Him. But if Jesus said it, He meant it. And this is not like the Roman Catholics, but this is being obedient to what Jesus said. This is His body, His life. I don't know how it works, you know, but it's a mystery. The Word of God is a mystery. And I'll just share this little thing with you. I know our folk know about it. But many years ago, Grace and I was in a church, and they were sharing the bread and the wine. And a dear lady came forward to receive the bread, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she had a bad back. She only stood about this high. She's quite a chunky lady. And she came and just placed her hands open, and the bread was placed into her hands. The church we were in had stone floors with a few rugs scattered around. I was assisting in the service, and I saw this lady, when the bread was placed in her hand, I saw the power of God just hit her. And she hit the floor and she bounced. And I thought, that's not going to be good, is it? After the service, she testified she was totally healed. Hallelujah. This is the bread of His very presence. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Helen has a testimony. Was it a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, you can come and share your testimony. This is how powerful this part of the service is. You see, we serve an almighty, powerful God. And this is how important this service is.
Probably two or three Sundays ago, I can't exactly remember when, we got to the breaking of bedtime, and that particular week, for 3 or 4 days, I'd had a lump on my tongue, and it was a hard lump. You couldn't see any matter in it, so it wasn't like a blister, or sometimes you bite your tongue and things. It was a hard lump, and it was causing me concern, because as soon as you say lump, your brain automatically thinks of a certain thing that we're not going to mention because we're not having it in here. And so I'd got this lump on my tongue. And I thought to myself that morning, when I get to church and we have the breaking of bread, I'm going to stick that bread on my tongue and I'm going to believe that that lump is going to dissolve and go. Now, it was in my mouth, so obviously you can't say that you'd all seen it. But I thank God that Pauline saw it. Because after I'd done it, I shared with her what I'd done. And she saw the lump. And about 10 minutes later, she saw it weren't there. Because Jesus died for our sins, that our sins might be forgiven. But by his stripes, we're healed. And this bread symbolises the fact that his body was broken for us. So if you've got sickness in your life today, when you take this, the sickness has got to go.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our God is real.
Yes.
My Lord is real. Amen. He's powerful. And so we respect this table so much because we're coming into his very presence and we're reaching out and he's reaching out to us. And this is a contact point by faith. It's that contact point. So he was that one loaf, one body, and he was broken for you and for me. He was despised. He was rejected of all men, beaten, unrecognizable. But yet, he looked down the corridors of time and he saw you today. And he said, Father, it's worth it. It's worth it for all those that are going to come into the kingdom. It's worth it. And so that one body was broken, marred beyond all recognition. That should have been me. That should have been you. But Jesus said, I'm taking it. I'm taking it for you. Because you can't bear this. But I can. And I will. I'm doing it so you don't have to. What a saviour. Hallelujah. That he thinks so much. If you and me. That he's prepared to give everything. To gain much more. Amen. To gain you. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. And Father, as the Lord Jesus lifted up and was lifted up unto you, we ask, O God, you will bless the bread of his presence. And Lord, you would touch every life this day in this building for your glory. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.